Welcome to this week's edition of the High School Spodcasters. I'm Scott Titrington, High School Sports Editor here at the Journal World, joined as usual by Jeff Fedot and our Lawrence High beat writer, and Eric Sorrentino, our Free State beat writer. We've got a special guest in studio this week, and that's Abby Vestal. Abby, welcome.
Hi.
Glad to have you here. For those of you who follow the Lawrence sports scene, I'm sure you're familiar with what Abby's been doing the last couple of years. For those of you who are maybe checking in and aren't as familiar and up to date on your Lawrence High sports, Abby plays midfield for the Lawrence High girls soccer team and has signed a letter of intent to play her college ball at Johnson County Community College. Also of note, she's kicked for the Lawrence High football team the last few seasons and has actually begun her professional football career kicking for the Kansas Coyotes of the American Professional Football League, and just had her first game here a couple nights ago. So we're going to dive into the football, the soccer, and just about everything else. So, Jeff, I'll turn it over to you.
Thanks, Scott. Well, Abby, let's start with it. You already had one game for the Kansas Coyotes. Can you tell us what happened and how you did last night?
It was intense. The game is so much faster than high school was. The walls are awesome. it's awesome when somebody gets drilled into the walls. You have more time on a kick to kick because they can't rush from the sides. They can only rush through the gaps. So it's different there because you have maybe 2-3 more seconds of time. So it's different, but it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
And I know that Coach Webb is very careful that after you kicked off, you had to run straight to the sidelines. That's probably not true, right, with the Coyotes, that you can stand there and make a tackle or two, right?
Yeah, now there's a wall.
An extra barrier. Well, how did the Coyotes do as a team? What was the result?
We won 27-20 in overtime, actually.
Oh, wow. That's very cool. And how did your kicks go? What, obviously, with the score 27, or most likely you got a field goal opportunity.
Yes. I went 3-for-4 for PATs, and I missed a field goal.
Okay. How far was the field goal?
I'm not sure, really. It was pretty much hop over the wall kick.
You gotta love the indoor setting. That's so cool. It sounds like it must have been just a real thrill then.
Yeah, it was. It was like it was a lot different than high school, but it was a great experience for the first time to do that.
Now, congratulations on that. Now, with practices, and you obviously have games there, plus you have high school soccer for Lawrence High, and of course high school. Is it sort of a tough balancing act
It's a little crazy. It's crazy. After soccer practice, or after school, go straight to soccer practice. Then after soccer practice, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I'd go straight to football. Unless I have a soccer game, then I will play my soccer game. And then I'd get home about 9:30 those nights. So
you're nice and rested. I'm sure you're getting, lots of sleep.
Oh, yeah.
On Friday, not only did you sign officially with the Kansas Coyotes, you also signed a letter of intent with Johnson County Community College for soccer. What made you choose that school?
I really liked Coach Schwab and Coach Lauk. They made me feel at home there when I went on a visit there. They knew what they were talking about with soccer. They knew how to coach it. So I felt like a good fit there. They're nationally ranked. I believe that they are number one in their region, the Jayhawk region conference. But they're a good team, and they'll help me a lot in my college career.
Yeah, is then the plan after 2 years to then go to how high a level program do you hope to go to after that?
I hope to go to a Division I, but I mean we'll see how it goes, really.
And was it also a factor that you're pretty close to Lawrence there in Johnson County? Was that staying close to home or another reason?
I've never really wanted to go far away from home, but I mean, if I got a great scholarship somewhere far away, then yeah, I probably would go. Or I really wanted to stay close to home.
And back to your present soccer career, it's tough because we're talking about so many different sports that you're involved with. Talk about how the Lawrence High soccer team is doing this year.
We started off good. We won the McPherson tournament that we played in. That was kind of stretched over a week span. Then I was tournament MVP for that. And then right after the McPherson tournament, we turned around and played Free State. After we played 200 minutes of soccer within 24 hours. And so you could definitely tell during the Free State game that we were a step behind. So it was nuts.
I remember covering that game, and it was a tie after two extended periods, but you could tell that you guys obviously were at somewhat of a disadvantage. What were your goals going into the high school soccer season, and how are you guys moving along toward accomplishing those objectives?
Well, we started out playing a 3-4-3 for give more. It's supposed to be more high scoring, but more high risk. But we never got the high scoring part down, so we switched back to a 4-4-2, and that's doing a little better for us. We're still working on that formation, so we'll see how it goes.
And as part of that new formation, didn't you also have to switch positions?
Yes, I moved back to from forward to defensive mid kind of position. Yeah.
And how is that transition? Do you like it better? What's the difference too?
I see the ball a lot more now, but I mean, now I'm not up where I could score as much or get as many opportunities, but I still can now dish it off and hopefully get the transition going from offense or from defense to offense.
Do you think that sort of works better with your skill set, or do you?
I would prefer to be playing strictly midfield, because then I could be with the offense and the defense, could kind of cover both of the areas at the same time.
Now, at that new position, I attended your game against Shawnee Mission West. You scored a goal from about 30 yards out, Lawrence High's lone score of the game. Pretty impressive strike. How far can you kick it? What's your range?
I don't know. I believe it was last year, I had one from right inside or right outside of the center circle for a goal.
Pretty impressive. And now on the football field, how far, what would you say your max range is there?
My longest I've ever had was 47, I believe. 47 yards.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. Again, to the Coyotes, shifting back to football here. What are the teammates like? What's the camaraderie like on the team?
They're all great. They're just so much fun to be around. But like during practice, it's kind of goof around, but when it's time to get serious. During games or before the games, they're very, very serious about it, and then when it gets closer to game time, they get all hyped. So it's a cool environment setting when all the guys,
and it's all different ages, right?
I have no idea what the age range is. I mean, now it's from 18 to whatever the oldest guy is,
right? And you're used to being the lone girl on the Lawrence High team. What's it like being the lone girl on the Coyotes? How do they treat you?
They treat me the same as I was treated on the high school team. They treat me like a player. They don't treat me any different as anything. So it's really nice having teammates like that.
That's good to hear.
What is it that made you decide you wanted to do football? I mean, obviously not a lot of girls are involved in it. Was it something you decided? Was it someone else planted the seed in your head? Just kind of take us through that.
I grew up loving football. I would sit down and watch an entire football game with my dad when I was like 7 and just sit there and watch an entire football game. I've always wanted to play it, but my mom in junior high wouldn't let me play. So when I got to high school, my dad and I were talking about my sophomore year, during my junior year, that I should maybe go ask Coach Wed to maybe kick for him, see if he'd let me try out, and then Coach Wed actually came to me, so I didn't have to go talk to him about it. So that's kind of how the whole football thing started. I've just loved football all my life.
You talked a little bit about distances, kicking a soccer ball, kicking a football. What's the difference in kicking the two balls? I mean, obviously they're a different shape. Do you have to do anything differently, or is the technique and everything pretty much still the same?
With soccer, you can hit a ball bad, but it'll still go where you want it to go. But if you kick a football wrong, it's not going to go where you want it to go because it's that odd shape.
Right.
Soccer ball, you can do a lot of kicking the soccer ball. You can spin it, you can curve it inside, you can curve it outside, you can straight on. You could pretty much do whatever you want with a soccer ball. With the football, just pretty much go straight. Or like an onside kick for kickoffs. That's, you don't really have many options.
Right. So now that you've got a chance to have done both for a few years now, what gives you a bigger thrill? Do you get more excited about being out on the soccer field and doing some things there and scoring a goal, or is there a better rush putting some points on the board for the football team?
I think it's a bigger rush for football, honestly. It's just totally cool to put a point up on the scoreboard for your team. An extra point could be the decision making of a game.
Right. Yeah, there's obviously that more immediate payoff, it seems like, as opposed to soccer, where you might only get a chance to score a goal every now and then or so.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, thank you very much for coming in. We know you got things to do. Got to run out and get a senior picture taken.
Oh, yeah.
not that you're not busy enough with everything else you got going on in your life, but before we let you go, when do you guys play again as far as the Coyotes?
We play May 5th at 7:05 at the Expo Center.
And all your home games are at the Expo Center?
Expo Center, yes.
And do you have road games? How's that going to work?
Yeah, we play. We have teams in Iowa, Wichita, Missouri, Texas. I think some, like they're around.
Pretty much
area.
All throughout the Midwest.
Yeah, Midwest.
So are you going to travel to any of those games?
Oh, yeah, I'll be traveling with them.
You will? Okay.
Yeah. Our longest is 13 hours.
Oh, wow. Well, that ought to be fun.
That would be
cool. All righty. Well, again, thanks for joining us. And for all you listeners out there, make sure you're checking into the Journal World to see the Lawrence High soccer schedule. We'll keep you updated on that. And we'll try to follow what's going on with the Coyotes as well. Thanks
all
a
right.
lot, Abby.
Thanks.
All right, we again want to thank Abby Vestal for coming in and joining us. We're now going to shift gears, talk about a few of the other things that were going on in the city last week. Most notably, we had the River City Baseball Festival featuring both Free State and Lawrence High. And we also, of course, had the Kansas Relays with a lot of city kids involved. Since you didn't get to say anything in the last segment, Eric Sorrentino, welcome.
Thank you, Scott. I was just kind of wondering what it would be like to actually even attempt to kick a 47-yard field goal. I mean, could you even fathom that? The longest field goal I've ever even attempted or even came close to hitting was about, 35 yards? I don't even...
I'd be thrilled if I could throw the ball through the uprights from that far. So don't ask me what it'd be like to kick it. I'd probably pull a hamstring
or something. Extremely impressive. But good to be back.
And Jeff, what are your two cents as we get ready here?
And well, in response to Eric's query, true story, sophomore year, Pembroke Hill football camp, I can't vouch for field goals, but I set a record for the number of backward punts during that ticket. So I don't think I can get 47 yards, period, but definitely not forward. Maybe in the...
Well, I guess some would say that's a skill all in itself. Let's go ahead and start with the Kansas Relays. Obviously, it was taking place here in town at Memorial Stadium. Not quite the turnout that we saw last year. I don't think anybody would argue that this year's event wasn't promoted nowhere near to the same level as last year's event, and it kind of showed in some of the crowds and stuff. But it doesn't mean that the athletes weren't out there performing and giving it. They're all just the same. Eric, you got a chance to go out on Saturday and talk to some of the city kids and watch how they perform. Just give us some quick thoughts on what you saw out there on Saturday.
Certainly. Well, the highlight of all of Saturday was, bar none, the Free State Boys 4x200 relay team, which came up victorious. The only Free State or Lawrence High victory of the day on Saturday. And it doesn't come as a huge surprise when you look at really who is on this team. You're looking at Brian Murphy, who will play running back in the University of Kansas next year. Also played running back, obviously, for Free State last year and just could run out of the building at any time. It was just so fast. So really no surprise there. Karan Toussaint, who is arguably one of the best track and field athletes, you know, that Free State has. Austin Wynn, of course, who has participated for Free State for a while, too. And Christian Ballard, who we've talked about all year in various sports. A little surprising. I kind of had in my story on Sunday that Coach Steve Heffernan said it might be a bit deceiving that, you know, to see Ballard get up there, 6'4", 275 pounds, but certainly make no mistake about it, the big man can move, as we saw in football and basketball and certainly in track. So it was huge for Free State because, honestly, they've you know, before Saturday, they had only won two events where they actually just outright won in their history of being a school. So a big day for the Firebirds in that respect. So that certainly was the highlight of the day. And they actually missed the Kansas Relays record by 14 hundredths of a second. So what can you do? You know, you can't get everything, I guess.
But. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that quartet fares all year as they go on.
Oh, yeah.
Last year in the 4x100 relay, and I don't believe Toussaint was part of that. I think it was another guy in that particular relay. Free State actually qualified. And when they came across the line, I believe it was Brian Murphy. It may have been Ryan Murphy, who's not running track this year. And in fact, that was the fourth. It was the two Murphys, Ballard and Wynn. One of the Murphys came across the line and threw the baton, and they immediately got disqualified and didn't get a chance to run at state. So that relay missed out on that opportunity last year. As you had in your story, the 4x2 didn't get to run last year at the relays because Christian Ballard and Brian Murphy were at a football camp, which kind of left Austin, and so it was Ryan Murphy, so it kind of left Austin Wynn and Karan Toussaint just kind of out in the cold.
Yeah. In fact, they said that they had to, they brought two sophomores onto that team, still finished fifth, but of course not as impressive a victory as we saw Saturday.
So yeah, obviously an impressive showing. I liked how you said in your story, you know, Christian Ballard shows up and everybody wonders how he's going to fare in the throws because you just assume he's going to shot put or discus with that frame. But we obviously see him in football and basketball get up and down the field in the court, and it's something to watch him in track. You get that much size going, it's really going.
I was talking to Jeff yesterday. I asked Jeff because he's done a lot, you know, with the NFL and stuff, and asked about that 4.75 40 time that he ran, and that's insane for his build and size and everything for a guy to run that fast. I mean, if you just see him walk on the track and get ready for the race, you probably wouldn't think that, you know, this guy's gonna move as fast as he does. So an extremely impressive showing by him.
Otherwise, I know you got a chance to talk to both coaches. You mentioned Steve Heffernan a little bit, Jack Hood over at Lawrence. Just give us some general thoughts on how they felt their kids as a whole performed and what they're looking for now as they go through the next 4 or 5 weeks preparing for that state push.
Right, sure. Well, since we just finished off with Free State, I know that Coach Heffernan was extremely pleased with this team. In fact, before the relays started, I said, you know, because I'm not – this was actually the first track meet that I've covered, and I, you know, for Free State, and I said, you know, Coach, who are some of the names – not only names, I knew some of the names, but what are the relays to really keep an eye on? Certainly that 4x200 was the one that he said, you know, this could be nice. And from what you said, you know, when they got disqualified, this has got to be the front runner for state at this point. I mean, when you have teams coming from all over the country for the relays, not as good a showing as you said, but still, you had people from Missouri and Texas and all over the place that really gave them a run for their money. So he was just ecstatic about that team as well. One thing to sort of keep an eye on the 1600 meter relay team later on, as I had in my notebook on Tuesday, Coach Heffernan kind of was he wasn't exactly pleased with the positioning of the lane that Free State was in, because he said that they were third in the preliminaries for that event, but they actually were in the eighth best lane. They were in the outside lane, so he wasn't exactly pleased with that, and he said that he was going to hope to change that in future years. But you know, other than that, you had to be satisfied with that. Team finished third, best time in Kansas this year. So I mean, Free State has a lot to be proud of. On the other side, you look at Coach Jack Hood, who is the master motivator, as everybody says. He can certainly motivate a team. But the main thing that he talked to me about is, in all honesty, he's like, you know, Eric, I've been motivating all year. For the relays, I really didn't have to do that much motivating this year. The relays speak for themselves.
Yeah.
And Coach Jack Hood certainly was pleased with they have a couple of special athletes in the Taylor sisters, particularly Jennifer Taylor, and they were just unbelievable. In fact, here I believe the girls 2 mile relay was their most impressive showing of the day. They placed third, which was great. They had Jennifer and Christina Taylor, two tremendous juniors. And they're all juniors. You know, Kelly Renfro and Kayla Severa, they're all juniors, and they placed third. They set their goals extremely high. They're going to expect to be there in state as well. And they were very fun to watch because they weren't always in third. They were actually, it looked like they were pacing themselves a little bit. You know, that Leavenworth, who's always, you know, pretty solid in track, kind of got out to a nice little start. And then you see, I forgot which Taylor sister, but you used to see him come in and just, they really know how to get after it and finish. And they're only juniors, so they're going to be back next year. And that was a great event to watch as well.
And I think we need to give a little love to Courtney Barber, Lawrence high jumper, who you actually didn't get a chance to see on Saturday. She competed on Friday, but won the gold in the high jump, which was Lawrence High's lone gold of the weekend. And also Kevin Logan, our podcast guest from last week, I believe finished third by clearing 6-6.
Okay.
The guy that he kept talking about when he was in here last week, Andre McDonald from Park Hill, I believe actually finished second, and it was a guy from Bonner Springs. I believe the name was Eddie McLean, who actually won it.
Yeah.
So, but Logan cleared 6-6 and had the top height. He would have won state with that height because he would have been the only 6A guy at that level. So.
Any word whether the Park Hill kid had extra motivation? The podcast is on.
Not quite sure, but he did. We did have a photo of him tripping, running the hurdles. He was favored to win a hurdles event on Saturday, and he tripped and fell. And I don't think the photo made our paper today because, honestly, he wasn't a local kid.
Right.
But who knows? Maybe Kevin Logan got in his head a little bit and just didn't quite have enough to get over that hurdle. All right, well, let's shift gears, talk a little bit about the other big high school event that had at least a local tie and had a few games played here in the city, and that was the River City Baseball Festival. Both Lawrence High and Free State competed in this. Both went 2-1, respectable showings, maybe some surprises, Free State's first loss of the year, and some things of that nature. Jeff, I know you got a chance to see both teams. Let's just start with some general impressions.
Yeah, well, generally, what a good tournament and weekend for both teams. Like you said, both going 2-1 and both getting some great experience. A lot of really good teams. Omaha Creighton Preparatory Academy, a very strong traditional program. And also the Kansas City teams have some very strong teams like Blue Springs, Rockers, Kansas City Ward. So they got, not only did they perform well, they did it against great competition and got some excellent experience. I was talking to Coach Stoll, and he said that he thought every starting pitcher that Lawrence High faced will be a college pitcher. So that just tells you the kind of experience they got over the weekend.
Yeah, let's start a little bit more about Lawrence High. You obviously cover them and have seen them more than you've seen Free State. They finished 2-1. The lone loss comes the final game of the tournament Saturday night, faced a red-hot Blue Springs team that really just, you know, completely shut them down on both sides. But otherwise, to get two wins, what really stood out about the Lions and their performance this weekend?
You're exactly right, Scott. And that one lone loss, yes, it was 10-0 to Blue Springs. But Blue Springs is 11-1 on the season, just an excellent team. Their pitcher that went Barbeck is probably a Division I prospect. He's that good. The other games, the thing that obviously stands out is just their comebacks. And you think that Lawrence High is probably going to have a lot of confidence as they go down the stretch. You know, they came back to win 14-7. It was a 6-run deficit that they overcame in the first game against Creighton Prep. And as I was walking down to interview the coaches, Coach Wed saw me coming down. He's a former baseball coach at LHS, obviously knows a lot about the sport. And he told me, Jeff, this is the kind of thing that will build a state championship winner, this type of, you know, it just feeds that kind of confidence. Then the next night against Rockhurst, another strong team, another comeback. They were down 2 this time. A smaller deficit, but they ended up winning it the last bat or the bottom of the 7th. So, yeah, a really strong showing for Lawrence High.
I know you also got a chance to see Free State once. Firebirds finished 2-1, and probably the most surprising result to somebody who doesn't follow high school baseball very closely would probably be that Free State lost on Friday to Kansas City Ward, and you sit there and go, oh, 4A school. However, this is a 4A school that's won state multiple times in a row recently, and even Coach Mike Hill said, you put them in 6A, and you're talking about them being in the mix every year. So all told, 2-1 for Free State. And Eric, you might jump in on this too because you've covered Free State a little more. I mean, is 2-1 a good showing for the Firebirds? Did they learn a lot about themselves?
Definitely. And like you said, that's a very good team. And let's not forget, Kansas City is an area with just a larger population to work from. They have some really strong baseball. And that game, I was able to see the end, and Free State was up sort of most of the game. They had, then there was a rally by Ward late in the game that sort of gave them the win. So it's not like, you know, Free State was just overpowered. It was just sort of a meltdown late in the game. They still showed a lot of talent throughout the weekend. And, you know, they have one loss on the year. And you can tell their expectations. I was talking to Coach Hill. I was really impressed after their first win of the series. And, he was just saying how much work they have to do. This team still has very high expectations.
They certainly do. And like you said, Jeff, I mean, the one loss, a great 4A program. And really the loss at the start of the game, Caleb Gress was apparently cruising, according to, you know, Chuck Woodling's story. And it just, you know, a couple of wild pitches got away from him. Then they brought in E.J. Swanson, and he threw two wild pitches. And E.J. Swanson has been a very solid pitcher for them all year, as is Caleb Gress, obviously. So stuff that you just haven't really seen from them all. And let's be honest, in baseball, it's, you know, I hate to use a cliche, but it's certainly a marathon and not a sprint. I mean, they're, you know, it's... You play so many games, and it's just that's something that you can, you know, all the relievers talk about it. They say, oh, you know, the best thing about being a reliever is you get to go out there so quickly after a bad game. You get to redeem yourself so quickly. So, you know, one loss, not going to hurt them at the end of the game.
And if you think about it, too, the last game for Free State of the weekend against Springfield, they just overpowered them 13-4.
Exactly.
I don't remember the exact line score, but you've got to think that they were up most of the game. And for the other two games, the first game, again, they were up the entire game. And then the second game, you know, they blew it late in the game. So they basically led the entire weekend.
Right.
It was a strong showing.
Well, and as you said, Jeff, when you were talking about Lawrence High, these comebacks are something that build a championship team. Free State can kind of look at the same thing and say, hey, we now know what it's like to be in a tight situation and what we did wrong. Mm-hmm. So if we get in that situation again, we know how to remedy it. It won't be a first-time occasion. We know not to try too hard, not to overthrow a pitch that ends up in the dirt, not, you know, all those little things that happen when you find yourself in crunch time. They've now been through that ringer. So they can learn from that experience as well, just like Lawrence High in a different respect can learn from the experience that they had in their two victories.
And how great is, I mean, Lawrence High Free State, that's going to set up to be some kind of match. I'm really looking forward to that because – you sort of look at the other major sports, football, Free State was just a more talented team with so many D1 guys this year. Girls basketball, that was also the case, just a more senior-laden team. I think the Lawrence High basketball team was actually more talented, just Free State got hot late in the year. These teams, I'm looking at two fairly equal just powerhouses.
Oh, I know we've heard a lot of people say up here around the office in different places that if Lawrence High and Free State can manage to not be in the same sub-state where they're possible for one of them each or for both of them to qualify for the state tournament, that there's a very good chance of that happening because they both do have the talent this year to do that. So it should be exciting to see how things play out down the stretch. And the reality is it's not going to be too much longer. I mean, we're closing in here on the end of April, and we're only talking, you know, 3 or 4 more weeks, and this stuff's going to sort itself out. We're going to have postseason for sports like swimming and tennis coming up here, you know, in the next couple of weeks, and then you get a little bit deeper into the season. You got softball, baseball, and we've still got the city showdowns in both those sports to come. In fact, Free State and Lawrence High, correct me if I'm wrong, don't they still have to play twice because of the rain out?
Exactly.
So we've got a lot of inner city rivalries still to come, and you know, we got track meets that are going to determine who's going to state, and just a lot of exciting stuff to come, and it's going to be crammed into a pretty short period of time. Well, is there anything else either you want to add about what we've talked about today or any of the other city sports that maybe we haven't touched upon?
I think the highlight of covering the entire Kansas Relays was certainly Igor Agafonov. In the hammer throw. I know this is not really high school related, but that guy can really talk. I mean, this was certainly the highlight for me at the Kansas Relays. I think he's like the fourth best hammer thrower in the nation, and he certainly showed it. Sasha Khan was there, draped in the Russian flag. It was for support of his fellow countrymen. It was a pretty sweet showing for that event, at least at the Kansas Relays.
One last shout out for Nick DiBiase. He had a great game at Community America Ballpark when Lawrence High beat Rockhurst. 3-run home run he hit. And this Community America Ballpark is, you know, a large, expansive park.
Pretty legit, yeah.
Left center, no doubt when he hit it. He said it was, you know, it was a tape measure shot, and he said it was obviously one of the longest
awesome.
He ever hit.
And along those same lines, since we don't have Chuck Woodling in here to talk, Ben Wilson
Ben
from
Wilson
Free State
from
did
Free
the same
State.
Thing
yes.
on Saturday.
Yes.
I was able to put one out, and And then Chuck said, he actually said, you know, that's not even the best one I've hit. Right. I hit one against the Latham North last year into the teeth of the wind that went just as far. So we'll give both them guys a little bit of credit for stepping into that pro park and putting a charge
in. Gotta like the Masters, absolutely.
That's right. All righty, well, that pretty much wraps things up for us with this week's edition of the Spodcast. Stay tuned into the Lawrence Journal World and LJWorld.com to see what's going on with the high school sports scene. And as we go here in the next couple of weeks, we'll keep lining up some guests to get in here to talk about the hot topics as we get ready to go into the postseason. So for Eric Sorrentino and Jeff Vidot, and I'm Scott Titrington, and we'll look forward to coming back to you next week.